I'm always really bad about trying to title things. As world events shape our thinking and the way that things are going, we've had terrorist acts all over the world, and a lot of people are scared and they're afraid. Churches are easy targets. Anywhere that people gather and you're unarmed is an easy target. You know, we are the warriors of God. And no, I'm not going to talk about putting on the whole armor of God. But as I thought about preparing a lesson, I thought about fight or flight. That's the two choices you have, physically and spiritually. We live in a world of where others are trying to take away our freedoms. If you disagree with me, you're a bigot, a racist, or there's just something wrong with you. You know, this country is heading very quickly to the left. We've always been a centralist country where we were a form of a lot of ideas. Come together, we could disagree, but we could agree on several things, which is the liberty we have, our right to worship God, and hopefully that there isn't people that are actually bigoted. I grew up in the South, and I could care less about the color of a person's skin. It never occurred to me that there would be, that would make them any different. The blood that they shed was red. God created us all equal. So I never looked at the population of being. My grandchildren are of mixed race. When my wife looked at the deal, their birth certificates, it said Hispanic. And she goes, well, what is that? I go, well, he's from Colombia. They're Hispanic. You know, it wasn't that big a deal to me. I worked on a gang one time where I was one of the biggest minorities there because there was six of us out of about 70 that were Caucasian, and one was Creole Indian. So that made him all in a standalone. The rest were all black fellows that I worked with and worked with, got along fine, never had any problems. But when we talk about fight or flight, we have to stand up for what God says, or we can just simply bow away. Now, in the reading this morning, and Brother Stevens hit on several different places I'm going to go. He put in the 2 Timothy 2:15 about standing to show thyself approved. He got that worked in there, and then he also got the 10th chapter from the reading that Brother Wiley read for me this morning in Matthew, the 10th chapter, about the sword. You know, Jesus talked there that he did bring a sword. But his sword, of course, is the Word of God. Now, I'm one of those people that if you come to my house and you ask me for something, I'll give it to you. I'm not really someone that, I have a lot of possessions, so if you ask for it, I'll give it to you. If you steal it, you meet a different person. Because I'm a big protector of what I own. I know Jesus said that if they ask for your coat, but he said ask. He didn't say if they take it by coming and stealing. I'm one of those people that's a firm believer in protecting my home, my family, and whatever. But with that being said, with living in Kansas, and we have the right to carry and bear arms and all that good stuff, now you don't even have to have a registered gun. You don't have to have a permit to be concealed carry and all that kind of stuff. And I do, when I look at the churches of Christ, I notice that we don't have those little circles with the guns not permitted. I do not have a weapon on me, so don't worry about that. You can disagree or not like my talk, and there'll be no problems whatsoever. But how do we defend ourselves physically? How do we defend ourselves spiritually in a world that is bent on taking away? To the world, for someone to be spiritual is just simply to say, you're spiritual. Listen to Oprah. She's a spiritual person. If she's your guide, you're in trouble. But we have to study the Word of God. We not only need to study it so we can quote it, we need to study it so we get understanding. How many of you pray for wisdom to be able to understand and to articulate the Word of God to others? Think about that. That's important. It doesn't matter. To me, someone standing up here talking for 15 or 20 minutes, and I'm one of those that could, do you think Richard Riggins could go along? I have him. But we have to be able to not only tell people what God wants, but be able to do it in a way that they understand that we are not the condemners of the sinners. Remember this. Hate the sin. Love the sinner. There's a major difference, and I think we have a problem with that sometimes, because when I see people on social media that are my brother, one brother in particular, for some reason he comes across as very condemning. I don't know if he means to do that when he's on social media, and I haven't talked to him about it, but it is. He incites others to be put off. And what are we supposed to do with the Word of God as a beacon and a light? Jesus wants you to draw near. Now, I'm not telling you to ever discount the Word of God or ever take away from it to be pleasing to others. But what I'm saying is, like when I come up here, I could be one of those. I'm one of the most direct people you're ever going to meet. And I can say that just wholeheartedly, because when I work for a living and I run a gang, I rarely praised you if you've done your job right. And I let them know right off, because I had lots of men I trained constantly. I said, I'm not a rah-rah guy. I'm not going to give you the pat on the back. But I said, if you do something wrong, I will tell you. I only yelled at one person my entire career, and he destroyed a $3,500 piece of rail. And because he was the one that kept telling everybody he was qualified. So I let him know that he wasn't. But this is the thing I'm talking about. I never really had to raise my voice. I've got this thunderous voice that, to me, your microphone is only, some of you don't learn to speak from your diaphragm because you have this to broadcast. I don't need this. I was blessed with one of those voices that's way too loud for most people's houses. But when we talk about fight or flight, are we ready to fight for the Word of God? Because, like I said, if things do not change, it's quickly going to become dangerous for you to be a part of the Lord's body. It may not happen in my lifetime, but we have removed God from every single part of this country. You don't hear a lot of people praying for the eat. You have no prayer in school. You have no God in school whatsoever. You go to a college campus, most of the people don't go to church. They've never been. We have about 30-year gap in here of people that have never been to church. All they know is what they've seen on TV and those people that ask for money. You know, it's always good. You know, if you want to send your money to some evangelist on TV, I always say, I'll give you my address. Because you can send it to me just as well as them. I'll do a little more good with it than they would. But when we look around America and what I seen as a child, and I grew up, and it's very uncanny, and I didn't know this until I was here, but Brother Paul and Brother Bill and I actually are from pretty close. They're down Highway 60, and I was at 60-63 Divide. I was in Willow Springs, and they're over there in that Boot Hill thing. And I didn't realize that till I become a member here that both of them was from down in that part of the country. And it's kind of uncanny that we all three end up in the Kansas City area, I guess. But it's just one of those things that growing up and being where I come from and watching what has changed, we are kind of to the point in this country, if we do not stand up and, like I said, articulate it right, anything is going to go, just as in the Romans. If you look at history at what they done and all the worship with the idols, we are quickly becoming them. Just look around. Look what the internet's full of. Look what TV is full of. You do not hear God mentioned unless it is some form of terrorism or some form of something else. You have these people who shoot up, you know, abortion clinics. There's no words in the Bible where it gives you the right to go out and kill another person. Ever. Unless you are threatened. You or your family, and you're just simply defending yourself. But when we get into these different things and people get all these ideas, the Christians in this country are slowly becoming silenced. And there is only one true and living God. And now that my soapbox is over, we'll get to my talk here. Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 13. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and the bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out and with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fig tree, instead of the briar shall come up myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall come not to be cut off. And over in chapter 57 and verse 21, it says, there is no peace, saith God, to the wicked. And that is who we fight against, is the wickedness in this world and also the spiritual wickedness of man, because it is growing. And it's basically unstoppable. When we look in the book of Timothy, it talks about men shall heap unto themselves teachers and having itching ears, because they all want to hear. They don't want to hear what righteousness is. They don't want to hear what the truth is. They want to hear what makes them feel good. Then when we go to Matthew, the 10th chapter, and the readings that Brother Wiley had done for me, when you start off here in verse 27, it says, what I tell you in darkness, speak ye in light. What ye hear in the ear, that preach ye in the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, that ye are of more value than many sparrows. For whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before man, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace on earth, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. For he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Jesus said, I bring a sword. I know in my own household, daughter accepted the Lord, and son never did. My son even told me one day that there is no hell. That is one of the most popular modern teachings that there is. It's been around for a long time. But that away, you can do whatever you want to, and there's no punishment. It's kind of like our prison system now. You don't really get punished. You go in, slap on the hand, you're turned loose. Our president now wishes to pardon most of the drug dealers who were put in jail because dealing drugs isn't that bad. But you see, it's hard for people to see truth when they want to have their own truth instead of the truth of God. When Jesus says, I bring a sword, most of us love our children. We would do anything for them. But when it comes to the part of the family, I had one brother, I was talking to him about the church and Jesus and baptism. Words he told me was, well, our grandfather wasn't baptized. He was a good man, so, well, if he's not going to heaven, then I don't want to go. I said, well, that's a choice. And kind of left it at that, because he just kind of got angry that I would say that baptism, you needed to believe that Jesus was the Son of God and that you needed to be baptized. Yes, my grandfather was a good man. He read the Bible. Did that save his soul? Well, that judgment's up to God, but what I read is that it is through your faith brings you to Christ. You will humble yourself before Christ. You will be baptized. You will get your sins washed away, and you will become that new creature which puts you as a part of the church, his body. And that's the only method by which I have found that operation works. I don't know of any other in my lifetime or since Christ was here and gave his life for the table of which we took earlier. And we remember that death every week, not every quarter, not every month, every Lord's Day. The apostles came together and broke bread. It's pretty simple. And I think maybe that's when Brother Stevens was talking about people using their brain. When everything is so technical and the gospel is so simple, you know, in Isaiah, it wrote, you know, it was made that even the simple could understand. They think that if it's that simple, that through the operation of simple faith, going through and being immersed, not sprinkled, not splashed, but actually buried in the baptism, like as Christ in the grave, buried, resurrected, that's how you save your soul. Too simple. Man has to complicate it. But we have to be where we can explain Romans, the 6th chapter. Buried with him, resurrected, new creature. These all sound very simple. And very easy ideas until you start explaining them to people, then you get what I usually get. This one didn't, so I'm not. Give me that old-time religion. It was good enough for Grandpa. It was good enough for Dad. Well, becoming a Christian in itself is an individual thing. It doesn't matter what everybody else does. It is your choice and yours alone. You have to choose. Now, if you want to choose and be there wherever Grandpa was or whatever, well, there is a hell. It's described as a place of outer darkness and the gnashing of teeth, a place I do not care about. I once compared it to a gang that I worked on that we had these in-track welders, and there was fire and smoke and everything all around us. You couldn't even see, really. I don't even know why they had us out there, but I was running a grinder, and I was part of the fire starter, I guess, but the welders started them too. It was an entire gang, one on one rail, one on the other, and entire right-of-way was just ablaze, and it was grass fire and smoke everywhere. And I once mentioned that if this was even part of what hell was like, I didn't want any part of that at all because I'd already been here. And one person took offense to that, and if you take offense to it, that's okay. But They said, well, that wasn't like it. Well, I guess you weren't there, so you couldn't tell me one way or another, and I've never been there. So when it talked about, you know, fire, brimstone, darkness, gnashing of teeth, or the loud noises, well, that's what I compared it to. And that's something I did not want to have to experience with my soul. In the sixth chapter of Matthew, it says, lay not up your treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And in verse 24 it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And all of us know that. You can't have two masters. If you put too much stock in the things that are here upon the earth, everything I own breaks. It's, you know, like cars are really bad investments because you buy it, it's okay for a little while, then it breaks down. They become, you always have to put gas, tires, money. And some people are just nuts about their cars. That's their baby or whatever. But, you know, if this thing, whatever it is, takes your place of God, if this is your treasure, then that's what it's talking about here. This has replaced God in your life as what is really important. And as read in Matthew, the 10th chapter, there is nothing more important, because if your father, mother, daughter, son, grandchildren, whatever is more important than God, then you've missed the point, because God has to come first in all things. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Did you bring the right kind of heart to church today? Or are you just here? That's one of the things we have to battle too, is because our mind is like this just constant battle between the physical and the spiritual, because we're constantly bombarded. And here, starting in the 25th verse of this same chapter, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, or what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them, and are not much more better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth what ye shall need, what ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We just came through the holidays, and I hope this isn't offensive to anyone. I came from a congregation where several people were offended if you mentioned the word Christmas even, or whatever. I know Christ wasn't born then, no more than I was. As far as December 25th, I know that Christ was born. Don't read that in there. But when we get into looking at what the riches that we have, how blessed this country is. Is there anyone here that is even hungry after the holidays or anything else that's taken place over the last couple of weeks? Or anyone lacking just the necessary things? Because there are people all over this world that are, this day, lacking many things. In this country, even the poor of us, poor of most of us, are wealthier than most of the countries in the world. And most of us don't realize how blessed we really are because of that. God has really blessed America, and we have really gotten away from that realizing that God has done that to us. Now, in our fight or flight here, we'll look at 2 Timothy 2:15, and we'll see here, finish up the verse that was started earlier. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And a verse that's not usually used is verse 16 here, but it says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You know, if you're spending your time studying or talking to someone and they don't want to hear it, it's time to walk away. Because, you know, it's like, you know, some people, they say, could argue with a post. Sometimes you're wasting your time, because if they reject it at first, there may be something. God may cause something in their life to cause them to come to you. And this would be from personal experience, and the person that wasn't hearing it was me. And because I did not, and I don't know how people like this word or not, I always hear people, well, I grew up in the church. And I'm like, well, no, you didn't grow up in the church, because you didn't become a member till you weren't added to the church until you were baptized. So you just were here. But my family was not religious. And Bill Ford had said it, wanted asked me, I don't know how many times, if I wanted to be in a Bible study. But Glenda and I were talking. I worked 4:10s, and we were home. And I said, well, why don't we call him? Why don't we just see about getting together with him in Maryland and have a study? And this is back for cell phones and all that, where you had the one. We just had the one phone. We were just married a few years before. One phone hanging on the kitchen wall. And as I was walking over to call them, the phone rang. And it was Marilyn Ford asking if we were ready to have a Bible study. So it was just one of those strange events. And from there on, we went a year, and then I was baptized, Glenda was baptized, her sister was baptized, and from then on, you can't shut me up. Because not too long after that, I started talking and haven't stopped. But when we get into this too, but shun profane and vain babblings, because they increase more ungodliness. The thing is, if you know, when it talks about when we're going to help a brother, we have to consider ourselves. Like if someone is, you're trying to talk to them about God and they're giving you all this other stuff, you may not be strong enough to withstand it. You might want to back away. And some of this has to do with, like, in a congregation or people causing problems. But if someone is talking about something and it starts affecting you, it may be time to take stock of your faith and maybe reload by studying to show yourself approved. And as I get closer here to the end, but when we look at this, and then I go on down here to verse 22 through 26, it says, Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolishness and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose himself. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And that is what we talk to others about Christ, because they are already in the snare of the devil. And the devil, the only people he has to work for is you. Have you ever gave that any thought? Those that are not in the body of Christ are already his. He don't have to do nothing. Not a whole lot. He can just kind of offer whatever the world has with its perishing and, you know, the concept that there's no hell. Everything's good. It's all good. We don't have to do a thing. Don't have to lift a finger. Or the one where it says, well, God is a loving God. We're all going to heaven. He's not going to let anyone. Doesn't it say somewhere where none should perish? They kind of leave out the part about all would come to repentance is left out of that. You see how changing a few words sometimes can change the meaning of something completely. And for those that have found faith, look in 1 Peter here. 1 Peter, the first chapter, in verses 3 through 9 here, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you are greatly rejoiced, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might it be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom we having not seen, ye love, in whom though we now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with the joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That is what is offered to us if we simply will trust and obey God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's in 1 Peter 4 and 11. In 1 Peter 3, starting with verse 15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And when we get to that one, that's another one that is terribly misunderstood, because people think, well, I have to know the whole Bible to be able to answer this. No, it's, you're leaving out a word here. It says to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks the reason of the hope. What is the reason of the hope that you would have? The reason of your hope, of course, is eternal life with Jesus Christ, with God, in heaven, for eternity. That is the hope of salvation that is offered through Jesus. And what we are looking for is found in Revelation chapter 22. So I bring this to a close. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servant shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no light there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren of the prophecies of this book. Worship God. He saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates to the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, whoremongers, and murderers, idolaters. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, the Spirit and the bride. Say, come, and let him that hear say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come I, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And as we bring this to a close, I would ask if anyone here is in need spiritually, they need to come forward and make amends for anything that you have done. Or if you are outside the body of Christ, to come as we offer the gospel invitation. Remember, God has given us all the weapons that we need to fight against the evil in this world, and that the spiritual fight goes on constantly, and God needs soldiers, and you could be one. Thank you.